Okay, good morning once again. Got to make sure Rosa gets the message. Surprise, guess what the topic of the message is today? It's called truth. What is truth? Of course, we sang part of that in our songs, our praise songs this morning. And if you haven't figured it out yet, I'm using John chapter 14, where Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," as the basis for these messages over the last week, this week, and next. What is truth? Do you know what last Tuesday was?
Truth and Reconciliation.
Truth and Reconciliation Day. How many people remember or know what that's about? A few? Interestingly enough, you had to wear orange that day. I guess Diane got the message she's wearing orange today. Truth and reconciliation. A very sobering and humbling situation. I have the printout of a little poster. And in it says, 1 in 50 children died in one of the 139 residential schools across Canada. Over 150,000 Indigenous children from the ages of 4 to 16 were forced to attend. They were actually ripped away from their homes. They suffered from abuse, malnutrition, preventable illnesses, lived in very poor living conditions. And the objective was to try and assimilate these children, these Indigenous people, into a Western society. Interestingly enough, we may think that the last school was closed many, 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 many years ago, that this happened way in the past. Do you realize that the last school that was closed was in 1996? Right? This was still going on. The Truth and Reconciliation Council or Commission, and you can go to their website, trc.ca, reports that 4,100 children died while attending residential schools, although they think the number could be actually a lot higher. This is truth. This is a lot harder truth to accept in our lives when we see this around us. There are still residential schools that they're still looking in the graves and finding more dead children. It was a systematic method that was very violent to assimilate Indigenous children and try to eradicate their culture and their language. I met a guy on Monday night who lived in one of those communities, and he said he still remembers when the RCMP showed up in his village with a school bus and loaded the school bus with all the kids in the village. All they had was the clothes they were on, and the bus and the RCMP drove off and left all the families behind. That is a truth. Okay, that is a truth of something that had happened in our country. But not only in our country. It happened in the UK, so South Africa, Germany, the US, and many other places. People are learning that truth sometimes is very hard to accept. Our past, in some ways, is not something that we want to be reminded of. In the United States, in the Nez Perce or the Nez Perce tribe, their chief, his name was Joseph, he and his tribe were forcibly removed from their land, and they were in northeastern Oregon. And after surrendering to the U.S. Army in 1877, he was promised that he would be allowed to go to western Idaho to be on a reservation with his people, but instead The government broke their promise. He was moved to several reservations and forts until he finally died somewhere in Washington State in 1904. Chief Joseph actually was quite well known. He was known as a humanitarian, and he was known as a peacemaker. And he was quoted as saying this: "It does not require many words to speak the truth. It does not require many words to speak the truth." See, there are a very few things that we cannot change, and one of them, of course, is the truth, and the other one is the past. But one thing we can do for those people who have been harmed and those people who are still bearing these atrocities, and that's what they are, is that we can pray for healing and we can pray for reconciliation. Very important. You see, the opposite of truth is lies. The opposite of truth sometimes is just errors that people make. In Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "Speak truth to each other." That's what we are to do. But then, of course, the most important truth is the one that is here in this verse. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through, no one comes to the Father except through me." Interestingly enough, in the book of John, Jesus speaks 25 truths. They're in a handout on your back, on the back table, if you want to pick them up and read them when you get home. 25 truths. He says, "Verily, verily," or "Truly, truly, I say." He says that, that the truth will set you free. He says in John chapter 8, "Truly, before Abraham was born, I am." One of the big truths, he says, is truly, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. He also told a very humbling truth. "I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." There are two basic truths that hopefully we all know, the two essential truths that should be foundational for part of our lives. One of those truths is the Bible. Do you believe that the Word of God is true? If you believe that the Word of God is true, then you will live by it. Not live by some of it, as some do, but by all of it. And there are people who will try to contend with you and say, "Well, no, the Bible's not true. It's not the Word of God. It's really a nice bunch of literary stories been brought together." But let me give you some facts about it. The majority of the Bible was written by ordinary people. It wasn't written by academics. It wasn't written by some fancy psychologist or philosopher. It was written over 1,500 years ago by 40 different authors. You can't get 40 different people to write something that all is the same, that has the same story flow, that does not compete or conflict with each other. It's historically accurate. It prophesied that there would be a Messiah, and that prophecy was fulfilled. It was, or is, one message in 66 books that was written over 16 centuries by several authors and witnesses. And having a witness is very important. And one of them was Peter. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories." Cleverly devised stories meaning all of what was written in the Old Testament. When we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They saw who Jesus Christ was and what he did, and eventually ascending into heaven after being resurrected. There's a good book I think I've mentioned it before. It's by the name of a guy by the name of Warner Wallace, J. Warner Wallace. And he wrote a book called Cold Case Christianity. And that book will show the authenticity and the authority and the truthfulness of the Bible. But he uses outside sources that were used to prove the truth in the Bible. Not just Josephus or other people who wrote in a very extensive book. Very extensive book. So the Bible, very important. The Bible was inspired by whom? The Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God, and as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All of the writings in the Bible were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Those writings were basically written by the people that were the scribes of the Holy Spirit. So, number one foundational part of truth is the Bible itself. The second one, we've already mentioned today, and we've praised it. And that is God's creation. How can you believe other than the fact that there was a creator, a master architect, of what we get to enjoy each and every day? From the depths of an ocean where there are still discoveries being made of life, to the stars in the heaven, to the variety of birds, flowers, vegetation, animals, insects, whatever you want to think about, it doesn't just happen. And it doesn't just happen over millions and billions of years. And I'm not going to go into the absolute detail, but if you want to read a great book again by Lee Strobel, it's called The Case for a Creator. And after having interviewed over 100 different scientists and authoritarian scholars, they all confirmed that a lot of the things that we try to make up are false, including evolution. See, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning, and through him, through Jesus Christ, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything that we see around us, the colors changing in the trees, it's incredible. How can we deny that there is a great creator? If there is a great creator, obviously he has a plan. And his plan is given to us in his word, which is the truth. You know, to prove creation doesn't mean you have to disprove evolution. All you have to do is look outside, and there is a creator and a truth. And with that truth and that with the creation, his plan for each and every one of us has been written down and is available to us today. But we just need to know the truth and believe the truth. There are four truths that Paul the Apostle writes about in the book of Acts and Romans. The first truth that he writes about is that we are accountable. We are accountable to God because he is the sovereign Lord. He is the great creator. He is the divine sovereign. He is the one who created the world and everything in it. And as a great creator, we didn't create ourselves. We are not self-reliant. We are not self-accountable. We were made by Christ, or made by God. We are owned by Him thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. He bought us, He purchased us with His blood, and we're dependent on Him. That's a hard truth. Nobody likes to be told that you are not self-sufficient, that you control your own destiny. Nobody likes to be told that God is in control, whether you choose to believe that or not. We are dependent on Him and His plan for each and every one of us. The second truth that Paul talks about is very blunt. We're sinners. We are sinners. It says, for we of all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Mankind, starting with Adam and Eve, rebelled, claimed to be wiser than God, making decisions for ourselves, not asking or seeking for the truth, still happening today. For some reason or other, we seem to feel that we have the corner on knowledge and truth and understanding. And we fail in ourselves many times. We put ourselves above God, making idols and images. And not just the physical idols and images, the idols of philosophy, the idols of psychology, the idols of human wisdom, not godly wisdom. We always think we can do better than our Creator. We can get through whatever trial is thrown at us. But that's not true. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. The third truth that Paul rings to us, even though that the penalty for humanity's sin, bad news that it is, that we are accountable for our actions and our deeds. We are rebellious in our sin. We sometimes think we are wiser than our Creator. But the third truth and the important truth is, but now, thanks to the love and the righteousness of God and His grace, we are actually set free from sin. Therefore, my friends, it says in Acts chapter 13, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes is set free from sin. And free from sin is not just the freedom of the penalty of sin. We are freed because we have been forgiven and our sins have been forgotten. We are freed because we have become reconciled to God our Father. There's no barriers between us. There's no hesitation. We can go to Him in our prayers. When we are free, we will be with Him and He will be with us forever. We can trust all of Jesus' teachings because we've been set free. We are loved. We are cared for. We are God's presence because we have been set free. That is an amazing truth. To think that we've been set free from the penalty of sin and the freedom, and that God cares and loves us because of the sacrifice of Christ. And the fourth truth that Paul talks about is that as a result of our freedom, we are included in salvation. Luke himself says, I've not come to call... He recounts Christ saying, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He also says in Luke that he came to save the lost. Who did this? Who started all of this? Where does this all emanate from? Who is behind the creation, the word that we read, the whole understanding of the plan of God so that his children will will proliferate, that this beautiful world that's been created for us is for his pleasure as well as for ours? It's in Isaiah. It says very clearly, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. We talk about the way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. But that, he's saying, I am the Lord, there is no other. I form the light and I create darkness. I bring prosperity, I create disaster. The Lord does all these things. He is in charge. He is the divine sovereign. He says, I am the Lord, there is no other. And that is the truth. That is the truth. And when we're asked about the gospel, because the truth is the gospel in Romans says it is the power of God, it's the power of the one God to bring salvation to all who believe. That's what it's all about. So what is the truth? The truth is, who made us? God, and we're accountable to him. What is our problem? We're sinners. What is God's salvation? Jesus Christ. He died to save us. And how can we be saved? Through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. See, the problem with truth is sometimes it's very hard for people to accept. Just like we were talking about truth and reconciliation about the indigenous people. That's a hard truth to accept. It's a reality. It took place. And the truth of God is reality. And for many, it's very hard to accept. In fact, as it says in Corinthians, for the message of the cross, the truth, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's God's power. When we understand the truth. Unfortunately, man's ego gets in the way. We become self-serving. And it's a lot easier in many ways to just turn our back on the truth or not even want to know about it. Because sometimes the truth is hard. But this truth brings freedom. It brings wholeness. It brings peace. And it brings eternal life in the kingdom. That's what this truth is about. It's God's way. It's God's plan. His plan for each and every one of us. In John 17, it says, sanctify them by their truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Psalm 25, verse 5 is very clear. David wrote this. He said, look, guide me. Guide me in your truth and teach me. It's a prayer. When we pray, we say, God, guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Peter, if you don't mind, there's a lady in the back there who was just visiting. Maybe there's a question she may want to have answered. Once again, guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and all my hope is in you all day long. Let us learn and be guided by the truth. Let us know the truth. Let us live by the truth. As I said earlier, sometimes being confronted with the truth is very difficult to believe. It's very difficult for many to accept and to change that there is a great Creator, that he gave us his word, he gave his son, so that we might have eternal life. That is the truth. So let's just finalize in a prayer. Lord, Help us to experience the freedom that you have promised us. Help us to live by your word. Help us to live by your truth and sharing your truth with others. If we have committed an error, let it not be the error of not believing in your truth. Let us believe that out of your great sacrifice of your Son, that we have a truth that gives us freedom, that gives us eternal life, that we know that you care for us, and that by your grace and mercy we live. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we have hymn number 270, please.